And then, of course, after that, we can hang around as long as we want. And I live here, so. I'm just going to ask Winnie to answer try to answer some of your questions. If there's anything that came to mind during the talk that you're interested in commenting on or asking about.
Okay. Don't feel you have to ask questions. And don't feel that you have created a question to ask me. I won't remember. And I don't know if I can answer them either.
I don't know about a question. I just want to thank you for all this. Yeah. Because it really clarified, because we've done this. Right. Just kind of clarified the steps. And you gave us the steps to start with. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Winnie, as I mentioned to you afterwards, you sat next to me here, and I was just saying, after listening to you, I feel like I don't have enough knowledge to even ask a reasonable question.
Oh, my God.
As you've taken a subject that I thought wasn't too complex, and in my mind you've made it very complex.
So I made it more complicated and more... I'm sorry.
But again, let me ask you for the benefit of everybody present. I'll repeat the question I asked you. How do you know when you're hearing God versus thinking you're hearing
God? You asked the hardest question. I think I was drinking my juice and we were saying that you seem to know it, and Jennifer says, but there's one thing is when I was studying about discernment, Ignatian discernment, that always, it is sometimes you are tempted by the devil to think that it is God's answer. It looks very attractive. Yes, and on the other hand, when it's God's answer, it sounds like it is hard. But when all is said and done, when you still feel everything about God is good, that you still love God, that should be the correct answer. And I was also trying to tell him, when you really find it very hard to decide or really need some help, go to a spiritual director. Now, I'm not advertising myself, but so many of us here have studied to be spiritual directors, and the spiritual director is there to help you, to walk with you and not to teach you. So don't be afraid, because we're not supposed to give you the answer, but we're going to help you, lead you in such a way that you make your own decision. You know what I mean? But the spiritual director has been trained to listen to you and then help you as you go along to decide for yourself. But the main thing is, when all is said and done, you love God, you believe in Him, you think that is His answer, then you are probably right 90%. Alright, if it's from the devil, usually he makes it very attractive. Look the way he tempted Eve. Eat this, it's sweet, it's beautiful, you'll be like God. Doesn't it sound attractive? But after she ate it, she was so ashamed of herself. That's already guilt. I don't know if there's a good metaphor, analogy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Whereas if you think it's the answer from God, you don't feel that guilt. That is my experience in life. Is that so, Father?
Yes, I think so. I think so, Winnie. I think a lot of times when we're trying to discern God's will and God's word, we take it one step at a time.
Yeah.
And we take it carefully, we move in this direction because we think God is calling us there, and it seems, well, God is still calling me, so I move a little bit more in that direction, And if it's not God, Father Bernie Owens used to say, the devil is like a poker player, but eventually he's going to show his hand. So it's initially seeking God's will, take it easy and you will not be led astray. But every step is one, the journey is one step at a time, So.
Well, the Lord says He won't let me fall into the hands of the enemy.
That's where they ask. I mean, if you're going to make a practice,
can you please speak louder?
If you were to make a practice of this on a regular basis, how would you choose scripture.
Do you read the Bible often?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, do you go by the reading of the day?
You never start from the first page to the last. I used to tell my students in the seminary, if you do that, you end up killing yourself. But I think God will inspire you too. Well, if you were reading like the Gospel of John or Luke, maybe you continue. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if there's something you want to know, like you hear somebody talking about Ezekiel, you know, about the story of the sticks, of the dry sticks, you know what I mean, so on. It's depending on the topic you want to know. And don't start from the first page to the last in any chapter. Never do that.
Okay.
Yes.
I think the whole key to all of this.
Please louder.
I think the whole key to the Lectio Divina, if you haven't started it already, is like the surrendering of your will to the will of God. And so, therefore, that would answer almost any of these questions. So, as long as I could see somebody here looking at the steps and saying, okay, let's start with that first step, prayer, then we'll go to this, then we'll go to this. And how come I'm not getting there? And I think if the key is to really empty yourself, the mind, to get, like you said, that kind of get yourself in a place that's quiet, that inner quietness, I would suggest going in front of the tabernacle and just sitting there without any scripture to start with, just to experience and let Jesus help you to experience that solitude, that peace. Then, you know, even if it, at the same visit, if you could get to that piece, then open the scripture and read one line, whatever he leads you. And I would also suggest that if you're already doing Lectio, that you call on the Holy Spirit beforehand and say, show me what you want me to do, so that it's not up to us, so that we don't have all this responsibility. How come it's not working for me? When it's really God wanting to communicate with us.
But if you say, how is it going to not work for me, that's exactly what I said. Mm-hmm. Because you're not listening in the right way.
Right.
Hello? Yes?
Yeah, sometimes I think, Fran, what you put me in mind of with, you know, some of that is, it reminds me of some of the people I've sponsored in AA over the years, and a couple of them were the, you know, arts and crafts type people. And they built a God box for God to live in. And, you know, I said, well, one, I said, I don't know if I really want a God that's small enough to fit in the box. I said, well, frankly, I said, I think I'd rather let him out so we can do some work. You know, but that's part of, I think, our monkey minds that we have, is that we like to picture God, and yeah, he does share our humanity because he sent his son to be with us, but we still like to have God in our image rather than realizing that God made us for him and in his image. So we as people get it backwards a lot of the time.
I think when it's all is said and done, it is the mystery of God and our relationship with him. And it has to do with faith. If you have faith, then this is the beginning of it all. The first and the last thing is to have faith. If you don't have faith, you might as well read Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol. You know what I mean? It's just a thing that everything that is from God is connected with faith. We have faith in God, love him and trust him, then all the rest will follow. That's my life belief.
As far as the conversation and knowing, you know, if it's really him speaking to you, well, this is my belief, but I would say the Lord is my shepherd, you know, I shall not want. And then I listen. And then I wouldn't say this to myself. I wouldn't say, yes, I am your shepherd. Tell me your desires. Tell me your fears. You know, give me your concerns. I am your shepherd. You know, so see, it's like a conversation. you know, between her and I, or, you know, God and you. I wouldn't talk to myself like that.
When you're...
Yes.
When you're doing that, are you, let's say you're in front of the tabernacle, just you, and do you play the role of God? Do you say,
no.
Yes, I am your shepherd?
No, he's the one
that's
answering. I'm saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, and then I go through the 23rd Psalm, bit by bit, and then I listen. And then this is the response that I will hear within me. I am your shepherd, my child, I am your shepherd. I am here for you, you know. Give me your desires, give me your fears. You know, and it goes on, and whatever he's going to say to you, you know. So this is how I distinguish.
And you're not prompting that.
No. You're listening. You know, you say, okay, speak, Lord, you know, for your servant is listening.
Okay.
And so you're asking him, you know, to respond to what you're feeling. So it's just like me having a conversation with you right now. I'm telling you one thing, and then, you know, you respond to me.
You get it to a point of verbal.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think a lot of it is just perseverance, too. You don't hear God's voice every time. You aren't touched every single time. And it's just the practice and perseverance, just keep going. It may happen, you know, once or twice in a long time, but if you keep after it, eventually, I think practice makes perfect.
Well, Father Lawrence Freeman, who is the head of WCCM, of Christian Meditation, he says most of the time we come up against a wall, and suddenly a brick falls through the wall, and you look through it, and there's light all over. Yeah. That's what you mean. That's what we call a leap of faith. That you come up against a wall, and say, the dead end, I don't know what I'm going to do. Is it or is it not God? And then the brick falls through. But you must have perseverance, and you have to repeat and repeat and have faith.
Yes. That you get through.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't tell myself I love you.
Okay.
I've heard verbal once. Very significant it was, but once.
Ron, did you say you have something to say?
I was going to say, Winnie, did you have anything to say about the fact that sometimes when we practice Lectio Divina or pray with Scripture regularly, we find out things about ourselves that we didn't know were there.
Yes.
And then what do we do about the fact that we've been trying to keep up a prayer life with the Bible open in front of us, and we suddenly realize there's a certain kind of person that always really peeves us. Mm. Or we have an anger that we didn't realize. Mm-hmm. And we have the choice of pretending I'm not that kind of a person. Or what do we do about the fact that it isn't we're always just learning more about the Lord, we're also learning more about our own suppressed part of ourselves. And that's an important thing to deal with. Or if we don't know how to deal with it in lecture, we stop. And isn't the thing then, if we realize that we have a great anger in us, we sit there and don't pretend with the Lord that I'm not angry. We let the Lord be there with that anger or that impatience. And let ourselves be fully transparent to God.
That is what
I think you wanted to say about that.
I know what you mean. I think that's what Father Thomas Keating, who is the head of Centering Prayer. He is the one who says that these are the moments when you are doing your Lectio Divina. And of course, Father Keating is also a psychologist before he became a priest. So these are the things in your life that you have buried in your subconscious, that when you are praying to God, he lets it out. He allows all these baggage to come out of yourself. You are realizing that these things have been there. No wonder I have a blockage. You know, I have a blockage. I haven't been able to go on with this part of this section of my life. I would say, I don't know what Father John would say, but I would say then I would like Jesus says, when you, before you go to the altar, you suddenly realize you had a big fight with your brother. Go, leave everything, go and give him a hug or say, well, are we friends again? And if that is not possible, of course Jesus is meaning it literally, but you say, well, in my heart, I forgive you. And I think that is dealing with it, and so you let go of the things that you have pushed in the subconscious that you can't get into the inner self. I think that's what it should be. I would personally, I would just go ahead and change myself. And I was talking to Bill that if we have a problem, that's what spiritual directors are for, isn't it, Father? That
I wanted to say it's very nice when people all have a spiritual director. I do, but not everybody has. Everyone should be able to practice Lectio Divina a little bit every day, and they we will come up with situations where we realize we have negative energies within us and expect that that's part of the package.
Yes.
God is dealing with that too.
Mr. Harry, he'll ask you what you were talking about.
I think a little longer.
When you're in that Lectio Divina, you're in that Bolivian, and then the thoughts of what are hidden in yourself about yourself and the anger. The anger is not from God. The adversary is not you to be angry, because the anger is not from God and it's not holy. You have to be on your guard, like the Lord says. This is one of those moments you have to be on your guard to realize what is from God and what is not. You have to be able to separate them and realize that if you feel that anger, to me, I just say, get behind me, Satan, and go immediately into St. Michael prayer. You know, and it works. And those thoughts or whatever will dissipate. And you just get back into the prayer that you were praying or, you know. But that's what the Lord says, be on your guard. This is what you're opening up to the Spirit. You're also opening up to the spiritual world, which is not just holy, it's also another world. You got to be able to define the two.
Yes.
Sometimes the source of our anger is very deep within us as a result of having been wounded or hurt in various ways. Anger is a secondary emotion. You know, when someone is hurt, they begin to try to defend themselves in various ways that they've hurt in the past, and sometimes that materializes in anger that is just deeply seated and comes up at various times. So I agree with you, Mary, in the sense that you know, we don't want to stay in that angry place, but at the same time, I think we also have to open ourselves up to allow the Spirit to come in and find the place within us that needs to be healed. So it's, I don't want to just place it, you know, being angry is not necessarily just originating in the, say, the evil spirit is making us angry, but certainly the evil spirit would want us to stay in that angry place and would certainly want us to just remain unhealed so that we could do all sorts of damage to other people, you know. So I think it's important to remember that our God is a God of healing, and to invite the Lord into the place within us that needs that healing, so that the anger becomes less and less a part of our life and our experience.
I'm glad you mentioned healing. I think Linda, you are a psychotherapist. She always tells me that in order to get healing, first of all, you have to deal with the pain. So you go into the pain, let it out, but do not let it stay there. Deal with it if you have to go through the greatest pain, and when you've dealt with it, you move forward. And that's when you begin to heal.
Right, and God can help us to do that. They're not exclusively doing it together.
Yeah, I think another thing that I find I have to do is practice forgiveness on a daily basis, just as Jesus forgives all of us and has forgiven all of us. I have to pass that forgiveness on. If somebody hurts me or steps on my toes or whatever, you know, I mean, that gut reaction is still, you know, that's and so I'm again and again, even. But then I have to turn it around and I have to pray. Mm-hmm. And it really helps, and it does dissipate that anger, and it does let God in to take care of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we're praying and we're, you know, dear God, please take care of that son of a, you know. But however we have to do it to get it out is what we have to do. And it you know, it works. The first time I did it, I was, you know, dragged into the kitchen and screaming all the way, but it worked.
I think one of the benefits of meditative prayer in general is that these things that are buried in us do stand in the way of reaching initially the goal that we may think that we have. But experiencing, oh, this anger roadblock, and then praying for help and working your way through it, that's a benefit far beyond anything that I expect when I first go into an attempt to meditate. If I find something, someone I've not forgiven, something that has hurt me, something that is lying inside my psyche and kept me an angry person, it's great to get rid of it.
Thank you.
Because
you
find
is it all fun?
Winnie, I just have one quick question. This forgiveness actually puts me in mind of a line written by Mahatma Gandhi, which reminds us that the worst devils we have to fear are the ones that are running around in our own hearts.
Who was that Keaton that you mentioned?
Thomas Keating.
Thomas?
Thomas Keating, K-E-A-T-I-N-G.
K-E-A-T-I-N-G.
His book, you should read, is Open Heart, Open Mind. Open Mind.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for having me talk.